If your religion is only for what? Food, shelter, and what? Clothing. Then you are practicing paganism. Because that's what the pagans yearn for, according to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. But there's something more. There's Christ. There's growth in Him. There's knowledge of Him. There's walking in Him. There's walking with the Holy Spirit. There's knowledge of Him. There's waiting for Him. The prophetic voice. There's a sense. How is God directing me? Praise the Lord. If I speak, what is the Lord telling me? What do I do? What is His will for my life? God, how can I express you among the men? No. 30 days counseling on marriage. There's nothing wrong. If there's no peace at home, how can you have peace in the office? When you come to church, your mind is begin to remember how you fought before you came. So that a worship leader has to bring a lot of praises and your mind is somewhere else. A lot of praises and singing. Hey, are you asleep? My wife's problems. I know it is a problem, praise the Lord. But that is not it. You should be able to come out of that and seek and press on for whom? Jesus. So, there are lessons we learn of separation from the world. And number two, conversion where? In the heart. And number three, total separation unto Jesus Christ. This is another area which is very problem in the church. You know, many Christians and many churches have no knowledge of Christ. And there's no attempt to present Jesus Christ, to know Him and to really have a deep connection with Christ. Yes, we preach about Christ. We take lessons about Christ. What Jesus did or did not do. But Christ Himself, no. The Bible is ideas, but not for Christ. So many churches, or rather some churches, have lost connection with Christ. I'm saying this, I told you, because of an encounter with my Lord. That many people in the church do not know Christ. They hear about Him. Accept Jesus Christ as what? Savior and Lord. Somebody will tell me, but brother, when the people come, they accept Christ in the church. I say, yes. After accepting Christ, what next? Praise the Lord. Osofo, I don't know what you are suffering. When the evangelist is preaching and the pastor is preaching, in order that your business shall succeed, in order that your marriage shall be all right, in order that you need to accept whom? Jesus as your Savior. As the person accepts Savior and Lord, what next? He's never taken to Caesar's again. Where is he taken to? The business market. The this and the that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, the accepting Christ is only what? A formality. But yes, some may accept Christ. But beyond that day of like the old system of baptism, when the children were baptized, there's nothing beyond the immersion in the water and baptized. Because there's no more any preaching and teaching about whom? Jesus. To grow in Him, to know Him, to press on. No. The whole thing, January to 31st, 31st to December, January, is what? The business, the marriage, the this, the that, but Christ. And you can be sure that the pastor never had a word from Christ. He may have a word from books that he's reading. And some preachers he has heard. But Sunday morning he has no word from Christ. He only takes anything in the Bible and he gives it a twist. Because the Holy Spirit is no more where. There. I want to thank God for you. I'm saying this from experience, not in my life, but my encounter with the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is how Jesus Christ described the position, the order and state of affairs of the people called and sanctified by God and preserved Himself. I'm referring to John 17 from 14 to 17. You may read it. I know, but I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from what? The evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. So you see, the separation of a world is not, it's a dynamic proposition. It's a thing that must be real. And it is not surprising when the world hates you because you are preaching Christ. In fact, the more you want to preach Christ, the more the world will hate you. Unless they come as understanding about whom you are talking about. But if you want the world to receive you and praise you, you preach something other than Christ. Because you will never present Christ for them. Praise the Lord. Jesus recommends a total separation from the world order. This is not just because the world does not believe and will not honor him, but primarily because the world order is of darkness and death. And therefore, it lies where? In the kingdom of Satan, fallen man, and under the control of Satan. The world order is an order of what? Darkness and death. Under the control of whom? Fallen man. And ultimate direction of whom? Satan. So when you press on to succeed in the world order, you are only re-echoing the fallen nature. I was telling my brother, what's up? I was telling the young man, he's a scientist. He did chemical. I said, you are a scientist. All the learning in the universities and everywhere, it will solve problems, human problems. That's all. If I'm only reading the scripture to solve human problems, the scientists are doing that. But I've received the Bible to go beyond ordinary solution of what? Problems. To live a life of a higher order. To live in where? Heavenly terms. That these problems are no more the things that will hook me. I can easily stamp over them and fly over. I can stand in the midst of confusion and my hands will raise up and worship in God. I can stand among sinners and they shall not touch me because my soul is preserved in Jesus Christ. You know, I can do it here. My business shall fall and everybody shall go against me, but shall never turn my back to Jesus Christ. I present more in that circumstance. And I will not say Christ has failed me. Because in that circumstance, rather, I see the glory of God rather appearing to me. I press on towards what? The mark of the high calling. But it depends. It depends. Beloved in Jesus Christ, I want us to close early. Time is running out already. I thought we should leave here by 8:30. And if you came, but I'm going very slowly. Somebody told me, brother, don't move fast this time. Go slowly. So I'm going slowly. I want to pray with you that we should know that we have been called by God and we have been separated from the fallen world. We have been brought to a new life. In this new life, we have the life of the cross. The life of the cross means separation, rejection, hatred, suffering, and even death. The life, the new life means holiness unto God. I'm not talking about cleanliness. I'm talking about your soul and your spirit, what? Separated unto God and completely committed to Him in Christ. I'm talking about faithfulness to Christ. And this is the mark of a true and faithful disciple. The mark of a true and faithful disciple or a saint is not in the possessions. It is his inside being and connection with whom? Jesus Christ. And how he portrayed Christ in his conduct. The disciple of Christ, the people of God, are expected to be always where Jesus Christ is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. I go to prepare a place. And where I am, where? There, my servant shall be. If Jesus is seated on the right hand side of the Father, we shall like to walk in heavenly places. But what does he think about world events? What is Christ saying about the events in our country? Have we sought him to find out what he says? Or are we reading our guidance from newspapers and commentaries from people who have been hired to say things to please their masters? But who is your master, by the way? And the views that you express, are they from the one on the throne in heaven to whom you are connected and to whom you belong? Or you share in the goodies of the world? The disciple of Christ, the people of God, are expected to be always where Christ is. This, unfortunately, cannot be said, because stated about many are saved, and indeed of whole congregations, fellowships, and church organizations. There has arisen a mixture of clay and stone, clay and iron, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar. There's a mixture of clay and iron in the church, of light and darkness. And even in some cases, one would dare say total darkness in the church seen today. There are some churches you go and you never see and never experience Christ. Everything is taking place and there's a lot of noise, but there's no Christ. You can sit in the crowd and there's no feeding. There's no presence of God. There's no reality Christ. But there's a lot of people and a lot of noise. And you can see a lot of faces, beautiful and not so beautiful, well clad and not so well clad, but all are in darkness, including the apostle. It's a shame. And this is where the Lord spoke a lot about that. His second coming and the way to bring the church back to the what? The foundations. The workings of God, the worship of God has become a public show of worldly ways, worldly thoughts, human glory, and satanic deception. So when you go to the church, there's no difference between the church scene and in a special party at Labadi Pleasure Beach. Maybe the people at Labadi Pleasure, when there has a dinner, the head of state calls a dinner in Pleasure Beach, will be better than the one in the church. Because they will conduct themselves, you know, they will honor the presence of the president. And if the diplomats, when they want to drink, they drink with the, you know, they put the alcohol in the glass and they keep it with their hand this way, so you don't know how much water he needs, how much drinking is. And even if he has finished drinking, you won't know. He'll be doing this. He doesn't want you to know he's not drinking or he's drinking. You don't see it, but he's chatting with yourself. You know, hypocrisy to the highest amount. Praise the Lord. Well-dressed gentleman. And whilst he's standing there, his eyes is where? Somewhere else. It's making contacts every time. But they are well dressed. And the behavior there is what? Very humanly commendable, well ordered. The women are well clad. The speaking is whispers. And there's no too much noise. I'm talking about this class of guests. Praise the Lord. It's better than the sanctuary of some places. I'm talking about the presence of God. And we charismatics say, make a joyful noise. They won't say, make a joy. Say, make the shout! So all the clinging and the clankings, and the blind Jesus was awakened from sleep. You know, there's no sense of the holiness of God or of the sanctuary. It's just a show place. So they dress anyhow, talk any language, dance any dance, speak any speak, do it to make yourself And your friends what? Happy. Meet me what? After the show. You understand that? This is another version of the church. Praise the Lord. There's what we call the high church. You know, if you go to England and you go to Anglican church, the Anglican have the high church, the sanctimonious, the Catholic tradition that has been kept intact without any adulteration in the Anglican church. That's the high church. Then there's the evangelical and the others who have changed the Catholic system a little bit. I'm talking about the high church. I'm talking about the those who go to the President's Party in Buckingham Palace, the Queen's Party in Buckingham Palace, and transfer it to the church. And I'm also talking about those of us who go to the football field with Charlie Watte and shout in the church. God is a merciful Father. Praise the Lord. This brings us to the finally to the faith of God. In our introduction, we stated that the foundation of the faith of the called out is the teachings, declarations, works, and lives of the apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ himself. From the Old Testament, we have the law and the prophets. From Jesus Christ, we have grace and truth. And from the apostles, we have the cross, the doctrines, the Holy Spirit, his counsel, his wisdom, his works, his ministry, and walking with him in life and service. Experience has shown that the heritage of the faith of God does not consist merely in subscription to statements or beliefs. Creed, I believe in God, the Father, the Holy Catholic Church. That's not enough, the faith. Or doctrines, or faith. Ideas, or some set of theology, you know, or doctrinal statements. I'm a Calvinist. I am a Reformist. I am a Pentecostal. I'm evangelical. I am a charismata. You know, these are all doctrinal statements and stance. This is not the fullness of what? Of the faith. Amen? It is not a philosophical proposition. The faith of God for the people of God called unto God is a new life found, determined, based, expressed in trust in God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Scriptures in its totality or entirety, that is the total gospel. I'm saying that the faith we live now is a life, depending, found in God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Scriptures. It's a life. It is not just a kind of tenets of some kind of, you know, this is our statement of faith that you find ministries. Yes, we agree. We don't disagree with them, but that's not enough, the faith. That is to say, the faith of God is a spiritual state of existence and life, bound with dependence upon and fellowship with God, the Creator. Let me repeat. The faith that we have now come into, since we have been called unto God, so the faith is now a spiritual state of existence. It's not just in doctrines or statements, but where do you abide? Where are you in the Spirit? This life of state of existence is found in the sanctification by the word of truth of the Scriptures, the preservation of Jesus Christ, as we said, and the living, working, and walking in the knowledge of love, in the knowledge, love, and fear of God, and clear fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This new life of the children of God, or people of God, does not only imply restoration of the original man and God fellowship in the Garden of Eden. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God visited man and they had a nice fellowship. When he was separated and taken out of, this thing ceased. When we come to God and we are called out to him, this fellowship is restored. That's why the scripture, the prophetic ministry, and fellowship, that's why Christianity is a fellowship with God. The fellowship is restored. And in the fellowship, the restoration is restoration of dependence on God and walking with Him. A connection with God in the Spirit. Dependence. This was what Adam and Eve didn't want in the garden, and they were rejected. But we have a restoration in this. And this restoration is giving testimony in the new birth, in the abundant life, and heavenly existence of the second Adam. Jesus espoused this when he took in John 3:3-8, you must be born again. In John 10:1-10 of the abundant life, and Ephesians 1:2-4, 2-6 of our protestation and living in heavenly places. I hope you study that. Discipleship and service. Beloved, the Christian calling unto discipleship of Christ and the service of God is no more than an extension of the general call of God of his people unto higher realms and ground of living and life. The Lord, according to the scriptures, has made us all priests and kings, priests to minister to him and his people, to convey his love and compassion and salvation in the world, and kings to join him in reigning and ruling of the world or the earth. The faith of God and heavenly existence is incumbent, therefore, on all of us. But this becomes more obligatory, and in fact, the only basis of life and ministry by those of the fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4:8-16. No one can be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher who is not born again, who is not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, who is not walking and working in close fellowship and collaboration with the Holy Spirit. Luke 2:24-49, Acts 1:8. The minister of God is a personal and direct representative of and living evidence of Jesus Christ. I said, the minister of Christ is a direct representative. I won't say just ambassador, representative. The living testimony of Jesus Christ again in the world. He's the evidence that Christ is and is ever living. Jesus gives him hint of this in his own personal walk in John 14:6-7. Philip said, show us of the Father. He said what? Philip, have I been with you all these years, what? And you don't know me? You're asking me to show me that you what? The Father. If you see me, whom? You have seen the Father. So we, the ministers, should be able to say, if you see me, you have seen whom? Jesus Christ. And if I'm talking to a child of God, and I'm ministering to him, and I'm preaching, I'm counseling, he must have a witness with him, within his spirit, that Christ is in me. There must be a confirmation between me and him. Since he's born again and Christ is in him, and having, there must be a connection, a confirmation that the one who is speaking to me has what? Christ. And he's not just giving me a set of ideas that he has learned, but he's pouring his Christ into me. And I'm receiving. And when you leave his presence, you know that you are being in the presence what? Of God. It is not display of knowledge or human wisdom, but Christ. In his humility, in his wisdom, in his counsel, in his power, in his deliberation, and his authority. The child of God, a pastor, the minister of Christ, must have these credentials. It is not an oratory, it is a reality. Amen. When a man of God is preaching and is filled with the Holy Ghost, you can tell. And when he's speaking his mind, you can also tell. As long as you yourself have Christ in you. If you see me, you have seen whom? The Father. If you see me, you have seen whom? Jesus Christ. So Paul said, we the ministers and you all of us, should press toward God, that mark. Paul confirmed in 1 Corinthians 2 that our preaching is not according to what? The wisdom of men, but demonstration of what? The Spirit and of God. Beloved, the world by wisdom, human spirit, power, and knowledge has not and cannot find God, much more walk in heavenly terms. How sad then that men, so-called ministers, have found, launched themselves in and are drawing followers after themselves in the knowledge and power of man and the wisdom and counsel of the world, the mixture of biblical truth and the philosophies of men and the wisdom of men in the world. This has found a place in the church. But this is not the food and reality of those called by God. In conclusion, therefore, the call and favor of God is a deliberate, conscious, and worked out system, ordained, ministered, and personally supervised by God. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25. It calls for deep and effectual connection with Jesus Christ and meaningful association with the Holy Spirit and knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures, if you are called by God. While it opens the door of restoration of glory to the fallen man, it opens yet a higher door of spirit nature, even the divine nature and heavenly existence and performance for the called out ones. The called out ones, in this respect, not only constitute a new breed of spirit beings after Jesus Christ, the children or people of God, they are also sent out ones to the world to deliver, to redeem, and to change the old world order unto conformity with the heavenly order. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The church must of needs catch a clear vision of the sanctification and preservation in Jesus Christ, the empowerment and restoration of glory in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the new life in the fullness of the divine nature open to all, and the social order ordained in the Scriptures. Of special significance in this respect, in this wise, is the ministry, work, and life of those called into the fivefold ministry to represent Christ in the church and in the world, or to the world. The church must revisit the foundation of the call and the faith of God, ensuring that the message, works, and order proclaimed and prescribed by the church is seen and found to be totally separated from the world order. This is the way of peace, truth, and life, even the abundant and eternal life. Tomorrow, we'll discuss the abundant life. God bless you.